All right, hello everyone. I'm here. I'm here. How are you doing today, Pharaoh?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
I'm, of course, drinking a cup of Nescafe Gold. You and I ought to stop meeting like this.
You need to have your own little storyline around Nescafe Gold now. At the beginning, like five minutes of Nescafe updates.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about 1990s TV ads today in a sequel to our very popular 1980s TV ads thing that we did before. Due to some technical difficulties, this was not the original topic we had planned. That will come back at a later date. Now, anything that you'll be, just before we go into looking at the 90s ads, Pharaoh, is there anything that you'll be looking out for compared to the 80s ads? Any trends you expect to see or so on and so forth?
Yeah, definitely. So I think obviously the 90s, it's the age of, Britpop, Tony Blair, things can only get better. You know, like I remember the 90s as a kind of a naively optimistic time. You know, there's lots of kind of positive things, but also like a little bit crazy, both in terms of like fashion and like culture. You know, like there's weird stuff going on at the same time. So I think we're going to move away from that kind of elitist luxury of the 80s and into, I know, more accessible, more friendly, and a little bit more kind of new age boho chic. That's what I remember. Lots of velour velvet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting to see a bit of a kind of split between the early 90s, which really is a kind of, we talked about the time that Taste forgot. I think people forget about how ghastly the early 90s were as an era for fashion and all sorts of things. And then moving into more of those kind of Blair years that you're talking about, because remember, Blair came in 97. So it takes a while, but I think that we'll see a reorientation from the elitism that we saw last time to this kind of leveling, democratic, lowest common denominator idea. Anyway, let's not prejudge the adverts, shall we? Let's let them speak for themselves. So I'm going to share my screen. You can see this. You can see this, Pharaoh.
Can do.
And I'm just going to get up my iPhone so I can see the chat. We'll pause for whatever super chats there have been. As we go through. And we'll take it from there. So I'm just making sure that we're up and I'm talking on my phone there. Okay, so we're all set up. I think enough boomer tech. Juanito came in with an early super chat saying Walter the Softie served as a cautionary tale to the reader. Man up or live your life being menaced. Well, I will come back to looking at the Dandy and the Beano. Once I've figured out what's going on with my external hard drive. So with all of that said, are you ready, Pharaoh, for some 1990s TV ads?
It's like a cattle market in here.
But hey! Okay, this is something people forget about, right?
It's like a cattle market in here.
But hey!
So immediately we've seen the normalization of regional accents. I think this was a big thing that was going on in the 90s to try to like bring in the North, for example, as something that we saw a lot on TV regularly. So this is partly the democratization we were talking about. We didn't come across many regional accents in the 80s ads, if you remember.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing that people, I think, often forget about the 1990s was the extremely strong drinking culture that was around.
Yeah, Alka-Pops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that old Channel 4 show, Teachers. It was like Now, one of the things that you'll notice if you watch Teachers now is just how much they go to the pub.
Yeah.
Like they're always, and, you know, they go to the pub at lunchtime and maybe 2 pints, 3 pints. These are teachers in the middle of the daytime now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember the drinking culture being extremely prevalent, you know, as a teenager in the 1990s. It was a very big thing. I mean, I was never that big of a lager, kind of never that big into that culture. But obviously, you know, I have to live my life. I remember once being in a we were all, I don't know, about 15 of us in a at an Indian, and everybody had a lager. And then it came to me, and I ordered a gin and bitter lemon just to be different. what a knob I was. Anyway, let's continue.
Well, can I just jump in before we go? And I think is interesting about this is the again the sexualization in it. And again, you know, going back to the 90s, you've got kind of like Nuts magazine and kind of Lads mags, etc. And again, it's like, you know, you wouldn't be able to show this advert today. This is sexualizing women. You know, Sadiq Khan would go red in the face, I'm sure, and ban this ad instantly. But
a lot of sexualization and the kind of, you know, the nightclub scene. We didn't see any of that in the 80s ads. And we looked at a lot of 80s ads. We didn't see any of this sort of thing, did we?
Yeah, the one lager advert was for like some D&D nerd. Well, this is just kind of like, yeah, lads going out.
Here are some scary words. E-commerce, online transaction, internet purchase. Here are some human words. Cheddar, loo roll, rubber gloves. When we buy things on the internet, what we buy won't change, just the way we buy. Now there's a credit card for you to use wherever you might shop. Now you can pay with marbles.
So what do you think about this peon to conspicuous consumption?
Yes, it's interesting. So it starts off with obviously all the tape decks, you know, that we saw in the 80s. But I think all of that stuff was phased out by then. You had like the, you know, 486 personal computer and stuff. So this is kind of like a bit of nostalgia to, you know, the past has changed, the internet's coming, new stuff's here. And, you know, if you go back to that scene in the kitchen, it's like a 1950s 50s household again. So again, it's kind of like spoofing the past a little bit, but then kind of putting in a whole load of products that you can buy with your credit card. I think credit cards in general, there was loads of adverts for them, obviously, like the MasterCard, American Express, all very popular. So again, it's like the real growth in,
I mean, this was in
credit.
This was, yeah, it's also kind of trying to encourage you to buy things online. Of course, fast forward 30 years, and now the government is basically telling you, ordering you to buy things online. but there we go. Yeah. Owen came in with a super chat, I can see, saying, "This is totally wizard stream, dudes. My 90s hype can't contain it. I was only 4 by the end of the 90s, but still." So there we go. He also accused me of trying to poach talent like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. So, all right, let's have a look.
Tell me the first thing that comes into your head.
Oh.
Chocolate.
Bacardi Breezer. There's Latin spirit in every one.
Now, the absolute subversive degeneracy of this advert. But tell me about what's happening here. I mean, this is just, this is so dark. But
it is actually quite subversive in the fact that obviously it's, you know, there's a career woman. She's dressed in her kind of power suit. She's sitting down speaking to her therapist. And, you know, he's trying to find out what are the subconscious things inside your head. You know, what's the first thing that comes to your head? And in this woman's head is, you know, a series of hedonistic parties where she's, you know, just snogging random guys, drinking loads, just dancing on the table, etc. And I think what's interesting about it is that, again, there's the rise of the ladette, you know, women yeah. encouraged to go out and drink. But also it's almost kind of saying, you know, like subconsciously, this is what all women want to do. You know, this is their dream, dancing on the table in front of everyone. So again, it's kind of interesting, like actually how, you know, they're playing into that kind of angle.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that I think this is so subversive, this advert, and it's something that I think if you talk to women who were teenagers at the same time as me, if they reflected honestly, they'd probably be, you know, they'd probably say something like this. This sort of thing was so strongly pushed and encouraged. The idea that essentially women were just a bit like men, that they constantly thought about sex and, you know, all these sorts of things. Notice how she was dominant in the kind of sex scene. She was the predator and he was the prey. Did you notice that? And one of the reasons I think this is really dark is that I actually don't think many women are really like this. I think this is a myth. This is a fabrication. Where they were encouraging, they were telling women, this is the sort of thing that you should be thinking inside your mind, right?
Exactly. It's like normalization. They're saying, this is what the typical woman's like, and if you're not like that, you've got a problem.
But it's not true, because essentially they were trying to, you know, somebody in the chat said, embrace your inner slag with Bacardi Breezer. I mean, it's basically the message here, but. Also, you've got to, like, I don't think many women really want this or ever wanted it, or, you know, and I think some of them may even resent the fact that they grew up in an era where this was being pushed on them against their kind of natural instincts.
Again, I think people just watching this at the time probably were just kind of like just taking it in and again, just acting out according to it. You don't sit down in front of the TV and say, look at this ad and analyze it and be like, do I really believe that? Or do you just go with the flow with what everyone else is doing at the time? And again, I think that's the danger of something like this is it's, like I said, it's normalization, setting a precedent. And, you know, you want to fit in with everyone else. So,
and this was very much in the culture. I mean, you mentioned the Cool Britannia and the, you know, the 90s kind of Brit pop bands and so on. If you look at the female figures in that, and also things like the Spice Girls and, you know, a little bit later, All Saints. It was all about this all the time. It was pushing this idea that actually, when push comes to shove, women are just like men. They can just be like, you know, hypersexualized, hedonistic, career, you know, fun orientated. And again, I wonder if it's anything. That anybody wants. Then again, I wonder if what image is being pushed on women now compared to this? Like, has this messaging changed slightly, or has it been ramped up? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different. Again, if you were to kind of show this, I think people would say, you know, this is slut shaming the woman or something like that. Or I think it's a lot more subtle today what they're trying to push towards. But like, again, degeneration happens slowly. You know, the slippery slope is real. And I think this is all about that first step, you know, to corrupting a generation of people, basically. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, just very quickly, Dinner98 has come in with an off-topic super chat, just saying thoughts on Corbyn getting suspended. I've seen various people celebrating this on Twitter. I do not think it's a positive thing. I think it's the cathedral sending a message to the far left saying, listen, get with the program, or this is what's going to happen to you. And the program specifically that Corbyn is not on board with is on foreign policy, of course. And they were like, no, we're not going to have the Labour Party be that far outside the Overton window when it comes to these sorts of things. we are neo-globalists. We are neo-liberal globalists like Keir Starmer. And you're going to have to get with the Borg. Anyone not on board with it, you're going to get what's coming to you like Corbyn. What was interesting is that Froggy pointed out on Twitter that Ash Sakar and Aaron Bastani?
Bastani, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have sided with Corbyn, whereas Owen Jones has thrown Corbyn under the bus.
Hmm.
And I just think wormy Owen Jones will probably survive. Wouldn't be surprised if you see Navarro Media or various other kind of Corbyn proxies who've been placed in the media slowly get phased out or even just actively purged. And they will do it, Pharaoh, right? Mark my words, they will do it under the remit of the BBC being quote unquote more balanced, less biased, etc. They'd be like, okay, we're going to stop having Ash Sakar on air. So, I mean, and obviously in some ways that's a victory because I actively campaigned to get Ash Sakar off air. But it's also just, always think like, what is the cathedral up to when it comes to that? Okay. Anyway. So yeah, deeply subversive Bacardi Breezer advert from the late 90s.
In everyone.
Sorry. I just had one last thought. Sorry. And that was actually just even the flavors and stuff were specifically designed to appeal to the female palate and stuff. All of the kind of fruity tropical flavors. Cause again, like you said, it's like women probably not going to drink loads and loads of pints and stuff. So this is just a way of getting them to drink more at the same time. Sorry.
Absolutely. In fact, there was a push at the time, I remember, of women drinking pints, like Zoe Ball would be sitting there with a pint.
The Ladette, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I think no one wanted to do that. Again, it was a bit of a meme that we were just trying to push.
Yeah, but whereas you could get more teenage girls to buy Bacardi Breezers. Thinking back, I'm not sure how many people did actually buy Bacardi Breezers. Just trying to remember.
It's popular on nights out. It was late 90s for me, but you'd have your WDK or whatever. Yeah, that was popular.
Okay.
Want to tell me?
I see dead people.
I don't see anything.
The sixth sense.
I'm going to get you all, man. Yeah.
The new fragrance from Hugo Boss. Boss bottled.
Any thoughts on that? It was a very quick one from Boss.
I think what's interesting about the 90s perfume adverts for men is, again, like the focus on the chiseled man or whatever. In the 80s, it's all about the kind of sophisticated man who gets the girl. So it's more about, this fragrance will get you the girl. While, again, they're certainly trying to push this idea of this, manscaped perfect man who you could be. So I think there is a marked difference. I'm not sure how subversive it is, but it's a definite move away from anyone can take this fragrance and be cool to this is what cool is and you need to be like this to
this ends up in David Beckham, doesn't it, this sort of thing. All right, let's carry on. God is in the details has come in with a super chat. Maybe I should sit here with a phone more often because I can just see them as they come in. He just said, God is in the details. Apologies for my stupid comment in the last stream. Read the Bacardi advert. Bill Hicks had the right idea about the advertising marketing industry. So there we go. Do you know what Bill Hicks said about the marketing industry? I don't know off the top of my head.
Probably kill them all, I guess.
Now, if you want digital television, you don't have to have a set-top box. All you need to access the breathtaking choice and picture quality of digital services like Sky Digital is one digit. And LG's new widescreen. The first fully integrated digital satellite television. LG Digital made easy.
Well, I'm surprised that was available in the late 90s. That must be like right on the cusp of 1999. That's very late for.
Yeah.
Although I do remember watching a channel called UK Play when I was, around 1999, 2000, there was a channel called UK Play.
Hey, Alfie, this band's really pants.
Don't worry, Sydney. These easy, cheesy flavour skips will soon sort them. Fizz,
melt, melt, fizz, fizz, melt, melt, oh, oh, oh.
Meltdown. What's it? Brilliant. New easy cheesy flavour skips. They visibly melt, then they disappear.
Oh my god. what was going on there?
That's like North FC the ad, basically, isn't it?
What was that?
Well, obviously the Four Girls is like it's a play on the Spice Girls, and like obviously in the kind of women's field it's all about empowerment and feminism, and then I think this is kind of like you know, the kind of
the new lads.
That's the new lads. It's like footy on TV.
Yeah.
Girls go away, basically.
Bedell and Skinner, Euro 96.
Yeah.
And also, did you notice in the musical cues, they were like, ah, oh, don't want all these girl bands. Let's get some proper music like the 60s. There was a little bit of a kind of Oasis vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
They were playing into, but it was kind of morphed into Beach Boys, kind of Beatles, 60s acid type kind of, you know. So they were trying to tap into some of those things. And I remember if you'd got, I don't know how old you were at the time, but there was the series, you know, Now That's What I Call Music.
Oh, yes.
You know, Now 32 or whatever it was at the time. And there'd always be two discs. And like disc one would have all of the, like the, you know, the filthy, cheesy kind of Spice Girls and Westlife and all that rubbish on it. And then the second disc would have like Blur and Oasis and maybe some like club hits, you know, like Prodigy or like some dance music as well.
Yeah.
And the second disc would be like cool. And the first disc would be like cheesy for the girls, basically. So, and so they were basically saying, we're disc two of Now, you know, we're the, so there we go.
There's a few other interesting points here. And I think it's kind of like, it's trying to be like, oh, we don't accept the mainstream, but then it itself is creating this form of pop culture mainstream, like opiate at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they're saying, look, pop music's rubbish now, we need to go to Oasis, etc. But they've just replaced one form of pop culture with something else monotonous, like you know, football and Oasis, which is another kind of opium. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Did you notice the? Because I think it was done well enough that we didn't even feel the need to comment on it. Mm. But did you notice the diversity and inclusion? It was done in a way that was just there's no difference between those. These are just two lads eating some skips.
Two guys. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he had. So the message we were getting from the chap on the left is that, well, he's got an accent like you. He watches football and likes the skips like you. You know, there's no. It didn't draw attention to itself, which is like peak Fresh Prince. It's the Fresh Prince.
It's very clever. There's one other thing as well. I don't know if you noticed, he was kind of sticking out his tongue and placing the skips on his tongue. Just sort of reminded me of someone taking like an acid tab or something like that. Maybe it's just me reading too much into it.
I think it was very much designed to be like, oh, we're going to go on a 60s skip-induced acid trip. and it's also going to play into some of these Britpop. Because in some ways, Britpop was like a 60s revival movement as well. So... Mm. No, I think that was very deliberate. It's quite a clever advert now that I look at it. But, you know, completely degenerate in all ways as well.
Yeah.
The one other thing I'll say, just while we're on the disc two of Now 32 or whatever it was, I seem to remember that no matter which CD I bought at that time, one of the discs, usually disc two, would include a version of a song called Higher States of Consciousness by Josh Wink, or be like Higher States of Consciousness 1998 remix by Josh Wink. So I don't know if anybody else grew up in the 90s, but that song was, I mean, pretty much on every single compilation in some form or another. So I just thought I'd mention that. Doug Nemeth says, this is to make you into human capital. It is called chattel. So there we go. Let's carry on. Stats for nerds. I haven't seen that button before. So that was a Royal Mail advert. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's quite clever. I think what they're trying to do is to find, like, what are those moments where you need to send something special and you use the post office. But the more I think of it, I think you're right in terms of, like, the 90s was like this 60s revival in terms of, like, using the most, it's like the most powerful subversive material possible. Do you know what I'm saying? It's in the 60s, you had all of those boy bands and, you know, like women screaming as they come out of the, it's the same thing, you know, like young girls having all of the pictures of these guys on their walls and stuff, which is a very strange phenomenon.
I remember the prevalence of those magazines for teenage girls. They were absolutely cursed. They were called things like,
17.
Just 17,
yeah.
Sugar, Bliss, and things like that, they were called. And at the time I was 16 or 15 or whatever, I went out with a girl who used to get those, you know, and I'd, the only thing that was permissible for you to do at that time was to, you just get to the sex pages. There was like usually a page where there's like, you know, people would write in on like sex problems and things. Mm. And that was the only interesting part of those magazines. They were absolutely cursed.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that's a really interesting phenomenon because, again, like stuff like the whatever Just 17, they had that false idea of that it was for these 17, 18 year olds, but they were marketing to 13 and 14 year olds. You know, it was really young girls getting it. And I think there's a definite, if you read through some of the content in them now, thinking back, you know, there's some very, you know, nasty stuff, and I do wonder if that had an impact on society as well. So.
And it might be an idea for us to do a stream just on, like, those problem pages that we were talking about, because thinking back on it, the advice that was being given to teenage girls through those magazines, probably deeply subversive.
And they're super popular. These had a huge circulation, and again, speaking directly to kids in a stronger way, I would say, more so than TV. So,
because it was people's private lives. But I'm just like, they were really encouraging you to do, you know, to try all sorts of different things, you know, positions, and, you know, encouraging girls to go on top and all this sort of stuff. I'm just thinking, why was that so important? But that was a big market back then as well. I don't know if that still exists, that sort of thing.
Again, all of it got banned. Again, it's like only GQ survived through the kind of the magazine cancelling process. You know, certainly all the men's ones went, all of the girls' ones, you know, but like I think that they served their purpose, which was to, again, push the border, push that line a little bit further. So you could go to more advanced stuff. So
the boys ones were called things like Loaded, that was the one I can remember, Loaded, and it would usually have a picture of someone like Gail Porter kind of naked on the front, you know. Not naked, but kind of scantily clad, and it, you know, some of them were borderline pornographic, I would say. That was the lad culture. But I actually think the girls ones were more insidious, because the boys ones were, if you actually read them, they were full of just like mainly encouraging you to watch gangster movies, and, you know, they were actually in a weird way more cultured. It was much more about watching, like, you know, isn't Michael Caine cool? Go and watch Get Carter. That was the sort of stuff in Loaded most of the time.
We need a meme of AA in front of a fire reading Nuts magazine with a pipe, looking cultured.
Yeah, Nuts, that was the other one. My God. Okay.
This is Power. The Power and New Duracell Ultra. the most powerful alkaline battery in the world. The power for more pictures, more music, and ultra performance in whatever it powers. New Duracell Ultra. Duracell power, more life.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much to say about this apart from subliminally it plays into the Blair's vision. Everything's getting better. We're on the train to modernity. There's no slowing it down. Everything will get better and faster and bigger.
It is a bit like the Futurist Manifesto, almost kind of like, you know, the machines will take us to the new forms of progress and stuff. Do you remember that boombox they had? I remember that being everywhere, basically, that stupid circular one. I don't know what it was, just a very popular model. But yeah.
And somebody mentioned maybe the Eurotunnel is being kind of referenced there as well.
Yeah.
That was being built at the time. Yeah. What was that?
I wonder whether they start out trying to make it almost like he's the chauffeur and then she's just a rider in the back, and you know, she's slowly creeping up closer, and then obviously they're together at the end, isn't it, because they're just messing around. But I think it's interesting the roles of women, the woman as the kind of almost sexual aggressor there, slowly stalking him like some kind of prey, and then grabbing him at the end. So very different to the 80s.
I mean, that is probably the biggest myth of all time pushed by 90s got. I mean, that is just not, it's just not true. Women just aren't like that. Even if they want to be, they're not.
Do you remember the 80s advert with the chocolate last time, where the guy was just like just being absolutely horrible to his girlfriend or whatever? Within the space of 5 years, they've gone from like absolutely wet women to, you know, people, you know, stalking men in the back of a car.
She seemed quite entitled, didn't she? All right, let's carry on.
In real life, I can't abide kids. But I would go for a credit card that takes the worry out of shopping on the internet.
Apply for the egg card at egg.com.
Mommy. They'll grow up.
So, yeah.
Well, just another credit card. Like I said, there was so many of these. Again, I wonder, I don't know if someone can pull up a stat for the amount of credit people took out during the 90s, but the sounds of it, it's interesting. Again, they're tying it into the internet again. So I think people really, you know what, I'm trying to remember, but maybe at the start, you couldn't use your debit cards or something on internet transactions, so you had to use the credit card. So that's why people are trying to, you know, push them so hard, but good.
And that's where Nathan Hood has got it there. That is Terry from The Thick of It. That's where I recognize it from.
Oh yeah.
Very, very good shout from Nathan Hood. But one thing I will say is I just love the cynicism of the marketing people here. How can we get a normal person? You know, the messaging is like, oh, she's a normal person, like, you know, just a person in the community, you know, probably hasn't got that much money, but it's just what's being signaled by this, by who this person is here. I find that interesting, the way, nothing else needs to be said, right? She's got all of the, you know, where this person is in society, basically, just by these cultural markers and her accent.
Yeah.
And his slightly kind of put out, you know, and they love that trope, you know. Yeah. A normal person is a bit fed up, basically.
Is that what the normal lollipop sign looks like? Stop children, because again, it like I don't know, maybe there's something subversive about it as well. Stop children.
Okay.
Call the live one-to-one girls. 6-400-999.
That's 0906-600-999. Just not. I got nothing to say about that.
The Britisher is furiously dialing that number right now.
He was back then.
Parents speak.
Good morning.
friends and friends. On this situation, it's my great honor. We as a nation.
Commander, are you on the next flight from the space station?
What kind of car is that?
It's a Volvo.
But how long have we been away?
Bloody hell. That's quite a lot for a Volvo. 22 grand. 22 grand back then.
They're expensive.
My God.
How much is the new one now? Like 40K, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you'd have to adjust it for inflation, but maybe. Some of these ads, though, they feel like they could have been made. Like some of them seem really modern to me. Like they don't seem dated at all. You know.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like certainly, like I don't think our mindset has I feel like 80s to 90s is a big change in the mindset, and then you know we're still living in that kind of age created by the 90s.
Well, people are saying that the haircuts haven't changed that much, and the fashion hasn't changed that much. We would just been stuck in the globo homo.
I think there's certainly something. If you look at like design, like interior design and stuff, I feel like we're in a real cultural rut.
Someone's saying some of them aren't that old. I think most of them are in the late 90s. Remember, Owain said he was 4 in the late 90s. You know, so, I mean, we're talking quite a while ago. Like the 90s were more than 20 years ago now. So
exactly,
but it doesn't feel like it's 20 years ago. I mean, maybe that's just us getting old, but I don't think so.
Again, look at the difference between like the 60s and the 70s in terms of like style, design, dress and culture. It's like worlds away. 70s to 80s, it's worlds away. And then I feel like we've just got stuck in a bit of a cultural time warp from the 90s onwards where nothing much...
There's a direct continuum from like Spice Girls to X Factor to... We haven't moved.
Yeah,
Little Mix or whatever happening now. Yeah.
And there's a lot of regurgitation from the past. You know, again, look at all the Disney films where they're kind of reanimating stuff. I don't know. I just feel like there's a huge cultural malaise we're in.
Yeah, it really does feel like stagnation.
Does your skin feel like it's being suffocated? Then release your pores with the brand new cleansing range Oxygen. Breathe life into your skin.
CellNet are giving you 2 people for free. Choose any 2 people and you can call their landlines free off-peak until the millennium. Whether you're an existing CellNet digital subscriber or you'd like to join, just call 0800 40 50 30 or contact your local retailer.
I do not understand what that advert is about.
So basically, like phone bills were a thing back then, do you remember? Where, you know, you could really rack up the cost if you were to call people longer than an hour. So I think the whole idea of this is that you could choose 2 people and you could ring them as long as possible, as long as you want, and you wouldn't get the large bill.
Sorry, I was just like, what? I can get this guy playing snooker for free?
It wasn't a great advert, but like that's interesting. Just remembering, like, you know, pre mobile phones, just how expensive the telephones were, and you had to do your line rental. I mean, do you still rent a landline?
Yeah. You have to for the internet, don't you?
No, I don't. So I don't even use a landline anymore. So it's something that's totally lost.
Most mums know the natural way for babies' bottoms to stay healthy is for them not to wear nappies. Huggies Totally Breathable Nappy lets fresh air reach baby's skin, while Huggies Improved Absorbency locks wetness away. If that doesn't help bottoms in nappies stay dry and naturally healthy, I'll eat my hand.
I mean, that, again, could be an advert from yesterday. Yeah. As far as I'm interested to know here. Maybe we'll have a look for some ads from the early 90s to see if there's much of a difference, because I think a lot of these are from the late 90s, right?
Yeah, so yeah, it feels like it.
Let's have a look at some early 90s ads to see if we can tell much difference. So,
awfully clever, those Greek philosophers. Well, they spoke Greek, didn't they? Right, natives. There was that Archimedes bloke who jumped in the bath and shouted Eureka. Water too hot, I expect. No, you see, he discovered you could tell how light this whisper was just by dropping it in the bath. It would melt, wouldn't it? No, it's theoretical. You see, he lived in 247 BC.
BC?
Before Cadbury's.
Oh, what a shame.
He's very philosophical about it.
Whisper. Enlightenment from Cadbury.
What do you make of that of it?
Well, just imagine even mentioning Archimedes on the TV today. I think people's minds will be blown. You know, the whole concept of, you know, enlightenment from Cadbury, talking about, you know, Greek philosophers and thinkers, you know, it just wouldn't happen. But again, it's interesting. It's bringing in some of the pub club culture, comedy, whatever. Who's the guy on the right? I recognize him.
It was Peter Cook and Mel Smith.
Yes, yeah.
And it was kind of interesting because they're both famous for having. And so it was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and Mel Smith's partner was Griff Rhys-Jones.
Yes, yeah, that's
but
right.
But here, for some reason, they were in an advert together.
Probably cheaper.
So, well, I mean, Dudley Moore probably would have cost a bomb back then. So, yeah.
But again, it's like all of that kind of culture has gone. You know, you've actually never see duos today. But also, it's a very brave advert because you've just got two people and the product in front of it. Nothing flashy, no product spinning around until this kind of end shot. And, you know, I think it's for me, I know my middle class sensibilities, it's quite entertaining and I quite like it.
I'm just going to ask.
Not bad.
Yeah, again, it's like, okay, firstly, tapping into, you know, Englishness, English folklore through King Arthur. And again, it starts off as this kind of epic quest to return the sword to the Lady of the Lake. But then it's kind of subverted and it's like, oh, actually, the Lady of Lake's doing like a Vegas-like water show. And, you know, I think it's just fun and playful. But again, would appeal to, you know, the typical guy at the pub at the time. You know what I'm saying? He would know King Arthur. And again, you wouldn't be able to show that rank display of nationalism on TV nowadays.
Yeah, neither. It was probably one of the better ads we've seen today, to be honest.
He came in after having an asthma attack.
What was his peak flow like?
On admission, it was 120, and then this morning it was 140.
Right, okay. Did he have any relatives with him?
Yes.
Last time, have things changed at all for you?
Well, quite a lot of more tightness in the chest.
Did that come over from Mrs. Wright yesterday as well?
Yes, apparently he's been getting more and more wheezy. Mm. So we were thinking that salbutamol would help.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Well, we'll be carrying out.
Get the trolley. Cardiac arrest, Albert Ward. Giving you a list of diabetic to listen to. Mr. Beddy.
Thank you for everything.
Come on. Thank you.
Fine. You all right? Family's gone home.
What did you do at work today? To find out more about nursing, call 0800 333 666. Free.
Oh right!
the first thing you got to say, NHS, and then the last three digits of the number 666. You know, just putting it out there. You know, clap to your god. I thought it was kind of interesting, but a little bit of a boring advert. But it was very much, you know, I do wonder if that's sort of setting stuff up for the rest of the 90s. It's about, you know, multiculturalism working, everyone's kind of happy, and, you know, thank you for healing me and helping me. It's the empowered woman commanding at work. She's getting stuff done. So It's interesting that that kind of archetype comes from the NHS, I think.
I was getting a bit of kind of the straight bat cricket shot of John Major's boring Britain there.
That was, yeah, that was pretty dull.
Not a lot going on in 1995.
Close your eyes, Mr. Kipling told my grandson, and tell me what you can taste. It was a caramel shortcake, a soft, crumbly shortcake base topped with chewy caramel and a figure of eight design. The boy gave his verdict. It tastes all wiggly, he said. And this was a compliment, it seems.
All right. Quite, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I really like these, the Kipling adverts, because I think there's quite a few in the 90s. And again, this is all about, there's a couple of different takes on it. You could either be the grandparents. So again, you're looking to make sure that your grandson has had a wonderful day at the picnic. Or I think there is like a nostalgia factor as well. Do you remember that time when you were a child at the beach and your grandparents brought you, a Bakewell tart? You can buy a little slice of that past. And recreate it at the same time. The fact that the boy is narrated by an older guy, I feel like that's more of the take. But I there was a lot of these kind of like, grandparents, grandchild relationships, like, where there's originals, that was big in the 90s as well. And again, I think it was just like happy, wholesome, and again, showing that the importance of the familial bond and the family. Again, I can't even remember that the last grandparent ad I saw, it was that do you remember the Asda ad that we did ages ago where the yeah. mum grandma ran off with like a Spanish lover half her age? That's kind of where the modern boomer grandparent is now. So
yeah, I don't know, I thought it was just pretty wholesome. And they're also the voiceover, don't forget, is, you know, it's kind of setting the seed, it's telling a story, isn't it? So I always, one of the better ads we saw. That's perfectly innocuous.
Yep.
Holla, Eurodollar. And we'll be there. And there.
And there.
To rent a car, just holla, Eurodollar. And we'll be there.
Not a lot to say about this. and other than it could be soft prep for joining the Euro.
Yeah.
Hold on! Murray! Murray! We're history, Murray! She's got something new for cleaning the house!
Same old story.
But this really is new. It's Domestos Multi-Surface Cleaner!
No, Domestos!
Yeah, I've seen it up there!
New Domestos Multi-Surface Cleaner. It not only cleans and disinfects food surfaces...
It even smells fresh and clean.
...but also works neat or dilute to cut through grease and germs on other surfaces, like floors. Trust Domestos Multi-Surface Cleaner for a germ-free clean.
Do you know what's interesting about that? Do you remember Big Bad Dom from last time?
Oh, yeah.
I actually thought that this seemed more dated than that. This is like, those little cartoons reminded me of like Willow the Wisp, like a 70s cartoon almost.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, that.
No. There's not much to say apart from, again, the woman at buying the stuff at house is literally, you literally cannot run this advert today, as it reinforces gender stereotypes.
But people are saying the germs notably had regional accents, so is Cockneys or literally cleaning away North FC.
I wonder whether it's probably for like the Essex mum, she's house proud, but again they have the kind of posh voiceover at the end to make you feel like you're a little bit fancier than you are. But like, so I wonder if it's actually a regional product. You know, it's kind of like lower middle class mums who are aspirational, looking to kind of make their house. They're very house proud. So
that's it from this one. Let's have a look to see what else is around. there's some food and drink ones. Adverts from 1994. Let's see what's here.
The pasta and add that to the pan too.
Apparently, I've already been watching this one. Let's have a look. Because that's what I do. all right.
Hello.
mountain-grown beans. Give Maxwell House its great mountain-grown taste.
So I would say this is a poor advert because it's got nothing to do with drinking coffee, unlike Nescafe Gold, a much superior coffee advert.
It's definitely just going for, you know what's cool, guys? A gigantic hot air balloon in the shape of one of our coffee pots. That was the whole pitch. There is no substance to this at all. I don't even understand the first scene. You know, first scene, it's some coffee beans in the morning, then cut to gigantic hot air balloon. It just doesn't make any sense.
Somebody's asking me in the chat, am I drinking Nescafe Gold? Yes, I am. By the way, I once won a poetry competition and we had to give like pseudonyms, and my pseudonym was Maxwell House. So that brings back that memory for me as well. I was Maxwell House once.
Fancy a burger?
No way.
Fancy fish and chips?
I don't.
Fancy a pizza? Fancy a change?
Yeah.
Try a KFC variety meal. Two pieces of original recipe chicken, two hot wings, regular fries, and a regular Pepsi, all for only $2.99. The variety meal at KFC, where great value never tasted so good.
Oh my God. There was a very cursed moment in that. Let me see if I can find this. Look at... This is how the Globo Homo sees the family. These four desperate consumers.
Yeah, just, consumer just, units. What was the name? There's a name for it, yeah.
Consumer units. Basically desperate, salivating like rats for their feed.
Your battery-fed chicken. Let us consume.
I would love these four to become some sort of meme, you know, just consumer.
Try a KFC.
I need to see them again. Just desperate for KFC. I want to see it again.
Fancy a pizza? Fancy a change?
Yeah.
Like imagine you were the director. What do you think they were told? Just be like, you know, desperate. Cannot wait to get my slice of processed chicken covered in breadcrumbs.
Yeah. So I think the whole idea behind it is kind of like this is new because again, KFC is relatively new in the UK, isn't it? From the 90s, yeah. I think. So again, we don't have a history of fried chicken. You know, you've had everything else. Now this is the brand new fast food consumer product that you can consume. So you know, I think it's quite a clever advert, just kind of being like, you know, you've been with your family, you're trying to decide what to eat. This is the perfect thing. And then it's all, you know, great value. Can you see the increase in the size of value and the taste? Those are the two things they're pushing. And then, you know, £2.99 for all that chicken. I don't know. Looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, and notice the Steve Turley tactics of KFC there.
It tasted so good.
What do you make of that then?
Again, I think this sort of, for me, is sort of similar to the Skips advert, where it's again quite subtly subversive. You see, the first scene is a grandson and a grandson and a grandparent bonding over fixing a toaster. Like, that's already quite entertaining because, you know, would anyone bother fixing a toaster nowadays? They just chuck it away, but they can't do it. It takes the bold and powerful mother to come in and throw a few things together and fix up that toaster. And then obviously she kind of she's so powerful that she can feed even like a team of a diverse football team. Do you see that?
Yeah.
She's so powerful that she can climb the, the tallest chimney and have lunch with her husband, all while looking after her, her family at the same time. So again, they haven't gone full kind of like, you know, women don't need men at this point, but it's still a marked difference from the 80s mum who just loves her family.
Yeah. And we're seeing that idea of the superwoman creeping in, which is actually something that women often complain about. You know, they're expected to be able to do all that and still, like, you know, this was just going for it, wasn't it? But there was also the suggestion, a weird suggestion, that this woman herself was like the embodiment of Marmite. She provides all of the, like, Marmite's going to get you through the day type thing and fix your toaster, like this superwoman, basically.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Incidentally, do you like Marmite? Lots of people hate it.
I am a Marmite fan, but I only weirdly have it with milk. A slice of toast with Marmite and then a glass of milk is perfection.
Get the book, achieve the look. Call Janet Fraser, 0800 880 0088. Get the book, achieve the look, now.
Get the book, achieve the look.
Well, again, like in the 90s, I remember getting like the Debenhams catalogue through, or Woolworths have one?
I don't remember Janet Fraser.
No.
Somebody said it looks it. I mean, that kind of catalogue thing was very much of that era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Spaghetti was said in the super chat, left activism has made me hate the word powerful. Get the book, achieve the look. And maybe I need a catchphrase of that for Foundations of Economics, you know. Get the course, ride the horse. No. Get the course, inspect the Morse. No.
Get the course, become an economic force. I don't know, you can...
Yes, get the course, become an economic force. Oh, we need to work on the meter. Needs to...
Yeah.
There's an extra syllable in there, but...
we need to... Maybe econ. Go to econ. Anyway, that's...
Econ.
We'll have the brainstorming session afterwards, the branding session.
Indeed. Incidentally, if you haven't picked up Foundations of Economics yet... get your copy while stocks last. Yes, indeed.
We need a picture of the KFC family all looking at the Foundations course on the table.
I might get that family. I'd be like, do you want to hear my new Foundations Economics course? Yeah. Oh, I have to make it now. I'm really tickled by it.
When I'm helping at Mother and Toddler, I do hear about new nappies on the market, but I found in my experience that Pampers are the best for skin dryness. Pampers help to keep babies dry and happy. It's the same for my daughter, Jennifer. Even first thing in the morning, with Pampers, her skin is dry and not clammy. She's a very, very happy baby.
Only Pampers Baby Dry has this unique baby dry layer. Look how it speeds wetness away from your baby's skin faster than this new nappy. Keeping baby drier.
I'm sticking to Pampers. Pampers are the ideal nappies for skin dryness. I wouldn't change to a new nappy for Jennifer. Pampers help keep her happy.
Pampers Baby Dry, the driest nappy ever for the driest, happiest babies.
Well, a few things to say. First, I can pretty much confirm that, I mean, I don't know about you, Pharaoh, but I found that Pampers are actually probably the best nappies. Do you use Pampers or?
It's all about the pull-ups, Huggies pull-ups.
Oh yes. Well, we've started using those pull-ups recently as well. Actually, yeah. We've moved to the pull-up. For ages we didn't know. A little trick with a pull-up: they actually rip on the side.
That's how it's designed.
Yeah, I didn't know that for ages. So I was just trying to, like, how do we get them off? when we discover we can rip them on the side, we're a world of difference. But I don't believe that Jennifer is the mother of this child. That was my first. That's my first criticism of this advert. I didn't believe that this was Jennifer's mother.
I think it's a stunt baby.
I think it's a stunt baby, and I think Jennifer's an actress.
It could happen. What I think is interesting, again, just comparing back to that other later 90s advert, is that there's a definite move to phase mothers out from these adverts. Again, I'm thinking today with some kind of nappy ads as well, and it's you very rarely see a mother. It's all about the kind of kids and stuff. So again, it's I think it's just interesting how it's moved away from the mum. I guess maybe with some of that ASA guidance, they couldn't just have the mum looking like she was the one buying the nappies or whatever. It would have to be the dad as well. But it's a mum who loves her child. Like, well, the script is the mum loves her child, and and they're happy together. Again, I think very wholesome imagery that you wouldn't see today. But I think you're right. There's definitely something fishy about the mum. Yeah. Look at that face. That isn't the face of love.
I just didn't believe her. She sounded like she wanted to be a mother and an authority figure all at once. It was a bit weird.
Select cuts from Whiskers are definitely Smokey's big favourites. And no wonder, there are lots of delicious varieties. All individual meaty pieces, succulent, juicy, and Smokey says they taste as good as they look. Now you see them, now you don't. Whiskers select cats. Cats would buy Whiskers.
There's always been a lot of cat food adverts. I've just thought, like, there's Whiskers, there's that one with Felix, there's loads of cats. Sheba.
There's a lot of women who are very affluent, who don't have a family and have a large number of cats, is all I'd say. So the market is definitely there.
Pushing the cat lady. It all started in Clockwork Orange. And now look at the state of play.
Well, I'm speechless. You see, she's the fool to
BT has abolished peak rate. So now it's as cheap to call in the morning as it's always been in the afternoon.
It's amazing, isn't it? Well, I never thought to go back to her after that. Well, would you let anyone put a thing like that in your garden? Look, the size of it. Anyway, I better take Monty for a walk. That reminds me. Did I tell you my pipes are burst?
The new daytime rate from BT.
All over the floor.
Can I tell you why I didn't think this was a very good... I didn't think this was a very effective ad, Pharaoh. Because... it seemed to talk down to or make fun of this woman too much for my tastes. She's kind of like a hyacinth bouquet type.
Mm.
And we were kind of identifying more with the dog than with the woman.
Mm.
But in order for this advert to work, you have to want to be her.
Yeah, the you're the bill payer. You know, you're right. It's almost like, I wonder if the dog is almost like a substitute for like a child or something like that. Or like you're the kid of the mum, and you just want to interact with her or get on the phone yourself, and she's taking up the line and stuff. So again, it's kind of like trying to be humorous, you know, like the dog's looking at wanting to go out and stuff. But nothing much more to say from me on this, I think.
Well, who are you meant to identify with? How is it meant to make you want to be the dog?
I think you're the dog. But then you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't have the landline. I don't know. Maybe it's like parents, people living with their parents or something like that. I'm not sure.
Weird advert, I think.
Oh. I can't believe we're here.
What's that? We should have left this stuff. Well, let's do it.
Have a nice day.
Okay, so let's leave it on. You want to stay?
No, Tony's flat.
What? Why, Tony?
The Peugeot 106. Leave it all behind.
What?
This is very subversive. This is all about, two Thelma and Louise-esque women. They don't need any. You don't need anything else in life. Apart from your own, femininity and other women, you know. So they're obviously on a road trip together. They're on holiday together. And they've hired this Peugeot car to kind of take them on the holiday of their dreams. And as they're going through, they're dropping off things they don't need anymore. You know, I don't need a A to Z of London. I don't need, you know, a hairdryer. I don't need to make myself, you know, look good. I don't need the keys to my boyfriend's flat. So it's almost kind of like, you know, you can achieve self-actualization through the abandonment of your societal norms, basically. That's the subversive message I got from that.
But she was also sleeping with her friends. Like, why did she have the keys to her?
Well, I think she was saying, let's just get rid of stuff, and then the joke is she's not the one getting rid of it. She's getting rid of her friend's stuff instead. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a little joke on that. But
I see. I thought it was suggesting that she was also sleeping with Tony.
No, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Nestle Clusters. Crispy whole wheat flakes with chunks of walnuts, pecans and almonds combined in delicious nuggets. It's so nutty, chances are you won't be the only one to appreciate it. If you like nuts, you'll love Nestle Clusters.
I don't know, but for some reason, I get the impression that it's a US ad that's been
localized. I was going to say that. It's definitely a US ad.
But it's been localized for the UK market, so they probably redubbed it with a UK voice, right?
Yeah. But, like, again, because nowadays, there's actually some really creepy stuff they do with localization in Europe, where, you know, all of the kind of deep learning voice algorithm stuff, you know, like Cringe Walker did with that Trump ad. They literally use that to translate it into different languages with the same ad, so that the lips don't match up perfectly sometimes. There was like a pub advert recently where they did that, but because that no one's speaking, it's relatively easy to, you know, just change the voiceover on it. But like, it definitely, there's that uncanny valley feeling of that isn't an English kitchen, and he looks a little bit strange, you know.
Now, I'm interested, why were we able to instantly recognize that this was a US ad that had been, like, what was it that gave it away, do you think? Do you think it's the fact that we don't really have this sort of exterior or this sort of look in the UK? Or was it actually, was it actually that we don't, there's something about him that looks American as well?
It's also true. You can,
I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's like, yeah, he's probably got like Italian grandparents or something.
That could be it. Yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised if, like, deep down we can tell that kind of stuff more than we think. So,
yeah, it's just weird because looking at the chat, there are Americans saying things like, yes, we recognize this ad from when we were kids and stuff. So we were correct. Our instincts were right. It's kind of just kind of interesting, like, how we can pick up on these, like, invisible cues, basically.
Yeah.
Take half a packet of Sainsbury's Farfalla pasta and cook in boiling water for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, melt a little butter in a pan. Finely chop 2 shallots and add to the pan with 4 ounces of button mushrooms. Next, add 3 or 4 sliced courgettes and cook gently for 6 minutes. Now cut 1 pack of Italian Parma ham into strips and add to the pan. Then spoon in a tub of Sainsbury's low-fat creme fraiche. Add some grated Parmesan cheese and a little black pepper. Stir together. Drain the pasta and add that to the pan too. Mix and heat through before transferring to a warmed dish. Garnish with basil and serve with a green salad. Very Italian. Very...
Sainsbury's. Everyone's favourite ingredient.
Somewhere in Wales, John D is fuming right now. He's literally detected this advert's been on, and a food abomination has been created.
So,
the 90s is very much the kind of this beginning of this like food porn style, you know, black background. Here's kind of like a seductive woman talking over the food. I think the problem is that it's obviously Sainsbury's food, and you're just looking at this terrible recipe. Like a horrible pasta mess with the creme fraiche base. It just doesn't work, and it takes something like the M&S where they've actually got good quality food and recipes for it to really hit home, I think. So
I was interested by using a scissors to cut the ham. So,
oh yeah, yeah. Good luck doing that. That'd take actually forever.
To me, there's nothing more 90s than sun-dried tomatoes. what else was in vogue? Pesto. I mean, there was a lot of this sort of thing first came on the market, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just look at her outfit as well. This is like very early 90s.
Yeah, well, all of these ads are from 1994. So yeah. There we go. I mean, this is the Sharon Osbourne haircut, isn't it?
Yeah, but she could be in like, what's that wines program, whatever. Do you remember that? The
food and drink?
Yeah, food and drink and stuff like that. There was that definite kind of foodie style. So that's what they're trying to tap into it at the same time. So,
the ingredient.
Oh, you manage.
But don't you know about child benefit?
Benefit, child benefit.
Yeah. When you go down the post office for your stamps, you hand over your book, she gives you the money.
It's brilliant,
it
you
comes
see.
Straight to you, see?
Dale, what are you doing there?
She?
No, he just met her, I think.
Stop that.
Drink it.
Don't spit it out.
Spit.
Utterly cursed. What is this?
You know what they've done is I think they've filmed a scene and then they've done an animation directly based on it, or like they've used like computer graphics to do it, and that gives it that really uncanny valley animation. It's something very weird about it.
Why were they casually talking about? I mean, their incidental chat was about collecting child benefit.
But isn't that like, I think you can collect it from the post office, can't you? Back in the day.
Oh, I see. So like it's not incidental. Like pension, it's like, yeah. Oh, this is the sort of thing you do at the post office. I see.
It's a terrible ad. Like again, like in the 90s, I think the post office. This is was it before privatization? I'm just trying to remember, but I think they weren't doing very well, so they're trying to push these pretty low quality adverts to get people to use it again.
Just appalling.
Lovely. When you hear the sound of a child in need, you want to do something about it.
Throughout the developing world, many children are in desperate need, and you can do something about it. Through child sponsorship, you can help provide the basic necessities of life that so many third world children lack, like clean water
and nourishing food,
proper health care,
clean, safe homes.
Child sponsorship through Plan International can provide all these things for families and communities in the third world. Sponsoring a child is one of the best things I've ever done. Sponsorship helps the whole community.
It helps families to help themselves.
If you're thinking of sponsoring a child, call Plan Free on this number now for details of how you can sponsor a child and help their whole community. So please call 0800 210 222 now. Your call is completely free and it'll make all the difference to a child in need.
I mean, my main question with that whole advert was, why was Michael Aspel perched on the edge of that couple sofa?
Something unnatural about it, yeah. I think you're going to be asking. I think you're going to be like wondering about those children hoeing and being like, "There's nothing wrong with that at all. No child labour work. Nothing wrong."
So that I mean, look, this, we're meant to believe this is just a couple at home, and Michael Aspel is perched on the side of their sofa. So.
It's like a life insurance advert almost. There's something very strange about it. But yeah. Again, it's just it's trying to target couples with children. You've got a child. You know, you know the pain a child goes through. Why don't you sponsor a child and you can help someone else's kid out at the same time? So it's pretty simple. The classic kind of like, here's a whole lot of people who are suffering right now.
Well, have you seen that David Lammy has had his way, Pharaoh, and that Comic Relief are no longer going to send celebrities to Africa?
Yeah, well, I do wonder whether they'll stop showing things like this in its entirety. You know, this being like, you know, it's just too belittling to the people you know receiving the funds and stuff. But I think it's a very dark path they're going down, where again, it's like only a certain you know type of person can advocate for charity, and you can only talk about it in a certain way. I think it's definitely going to be a negative effect on the charity industry as a whole. So I hope. You know, Lammy can live with the fact he's taken pounds away from the mouths of, you know, young children. So,
now your call is completely free, and it'll make all the difference to a child in need.
Smoother than a puma cheating at backgammon,
Heineken Export, as recommended by your smooth-talking bar steward.
So there we go. That was just using a Fry and Laurie character, this cocktail character that Stephen Fry had, and putting him in an advert. So.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe they're doing like a bit of a play on bar steward and I don't want to swear and demonetize you, but you know, the
steward, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, so again, it's kind of getting that kind of I know, working class humor in it.
Weak.
Are you colder than I am? How is that?
Heads up, look out!
Wait a minute. Can you see anything yet?
Just a second. Settle down. He's opening the refrigerator.
Oh, what does he have? What does he have? I can't see through you.
What's your low bumper, please?
It's
pretty good. There was a good ad. What do you reckon?
I don't know. I was quite disturbed by it. Some kind of, I'm going to be living with the fact that all of my ice is now personified. They all have little lives. And, you know,
when they really want Coke,
and they eventually dissolve, and you've killed the little ice cube person.
I'm probably going to spend half the night trying to turn that KFC ad into a Foundations of Economics ad. I've already decided. I can't get enough of that family. Just desperate for KFC.
You can tone up your muscles,
but don't you forget, if you want to keep your breath in shape,
you better use Clarets. Get Actazole working on them with
Clarets. Self-neutralise nastiness.
Chew them to the right,
suck them to the left.
Ain't nothing tastes nicer
than minty Clarets.
Ready to go clubbing, Ron?
Yeah.
Clarets. Great tasting regular or sugar-free mints and gum.
So, yeah, the that was Hale and Pace, the comedy duo from the 80s and the early 90s. And they had these two, like, bouncer characters. And this was just trying to capitalize on the popularity, I guess, of Hale and Pace. What I don't quite understand is why Clarets look so medicinal. Is it medicine or is it just mints? It's mints, right?
Well, again, a lot of the earlier mints were derived from, like, like medical substitutes and stuff, weren't they? So, again, sometimes they try and go for that kind of, like, we're the science style product. So, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Starting off being like setting the scene as, you know, are you a woman that does, you know, tries to get fit before you go out? Again, the ideas of the bouncers implies that, you know, it's all about going out. Well, the one thing you're missing in your life is fresh breath as part of that journey out. And if you want to be your best, you've got to get the fresh breath. And then they had, you know, some comedy skits in there as well, just to make you laugh. But I think it was not great, in my opinion, but
it was weak. How much time do you have, by the way? Do you have to
I got another half an hour, so.
All right.
Britain's favourite washing machines wash the socks, shirts and undies of over 6 million homes. And now, Hotpoint's new Aquarius Ultra range gives our best performance ever.
You're all just nodes in the British flag of Britain's favourite washing machine.
Yeah, your faceless consumer units. You've had your KFC, now wash your clothes at the end of the day. I don't know. I thought there was some things that were quite nice about it. Where again, it was like Hot Point's always kind of like upper middle class. They're trying to hit. I used to sell these. I used to work at Comet for a while, if you remember that, before it went bust. But yeah. And these are kind of like upper middle class, more expensive washing machines, and that's why they'd use something like the opera music in the background to make it sound a little bit classier. Again, blows my mind the idea of using like a British flag as part of an advert these days. I don't even think Hot Point's British. I could be wrong, but I think it's. I don't know. I get the feeling it's.
Well, you know, these brands, they're gonna try to sidle up to you, and then when they're fully embedded as parasites, they turn their loyalties, the likes of Hot Point. So let's carry on.
There's a buzz of excitement here as Jack, the brand new challenger from Huggies, takes to the floor. He's in excellent shape and looks remarkably comfortable. Such ease of movement.
New Huggies Ultra Thin from Kleenex. They're only about half as thick as the leading nappy, yet incredibly, they keep your baby...
Now, leading nappy there is a euphemism for Pampers, isn't it? It's a euphemism. Yeah.
Skin just as dry.
An absorbing performance from Huggies. The audience are going potty.
New Huggies from Kleenex. There's no drier nappy.
Just on the competition thing, it's interesting because until recently you haven't been able to actively had an ad where you're slagging off your competitors. And even today, if you want to do something like that, you can actually name another brand now, but you need to quote a scientific study. But again, it's interesting as part of, you know, the kind of drive towards resources and scientism. You know, that's definitely been helped by some of these... rulings, you know, put your trust in the sources, basically.
Yeah. Who do you think is winning the great ad wars of the mid-90s between Pampers and Huggies?
Well, again, I don't know why they're going for thinness as like a feature. Maybe they spoke to some of the people and they were saying, oh, it's too bulky, but I don't think it's a huge USP, so I think probably...
Yeah, I thought that. In fact, when they were holding it, I thought, what are they trying to sell me? A wafer? Biscuit? Like, what is that? thinness.
Also, do you remember the blue water? There's a time where they just use blue water for everything, for like tampon adverts, etc.
If you use petrol without detergent, this is what can happen to your engine. Shell contains a patented detergent. Used regularly, it helps stop carbon buildup and gives much better performance. Riding along in my automobile. You can tell when it's Shell.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I'm getting from this is that really what we were saying before, not a lot has changed since the 90s, judging by these. Like, it really does feel like it's the same continuum. Whereas when we were watching the 80s stuff, it felt like a different world. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Again, like, all of the musical cues are very similar, the formats, the voiceover with stuff going on. And the brands themselves haven't changed that much as well.
I mean, even looking at this shot here, okay, we could probably tell that car looks a bit dated, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But beyond that, everything else there, I mean, I don't know, could have been taken yesterday.
The fashion and the kitchens, the interiors, etc., they all stay the same. Again, if you look at a Habitat magazine from the 90s, in fact, I'm pretty sure Habitat even reuse their 90s collections in their modern stuff. It's very, very little changed.
Well, that's the sign up.
Yeah, the sign for Dad's neighbours to throw a street party.
They heard that when you left.
Don't think her. Moving house is painful enough.
Yeah, painful for Dad. He's been in the house so long, I hear you have to treat him for woodworm.
Yes, well, Abbey National's home movers deal will soften the blow a bit.
What's that when it's at home?
I'll tell you what it is, matey. Unlike some places, Abbey decided it might actually be quite nice to offer an incentive for staying with them when you move house. Now shut up and hold this.
Yes, well, what it does mean is that we could move to that cottage near you. You could pop in whenever you like for coffee or dinner or anything. Your father would like that, wouldn't you, dear?
Abbey National, the habit of a lifetime.
I'm loving this. This is kind of like the Chad dad. You know, he's repairing his chair. He's a hands-on guy. He can fix things. Having to deal with his last man's son, degenerate. You know?
They're playing on the popularity of One Foot in the Grave at this period. Yep.
Victor Meldrew.
Victor Meldrew, of course, but I noticed they didn't bother to get the other characters, so they got him, but they got like weak generic actors to play the other roles. You know, he had a wife and a kid and stuff in One Foot in the Grave, but they didn't use those actors. So
no, exactly. So, But you know, I think it's quite clever. It's just, you know, you're meant to empathize. You're cast as the kind of older couple. I wonder if it's targeting the women more, because it's quite disparaging to the father, isn't it? While again, I can imagine like the mother being like, oh, I'm the one who wants to initiate the move. We want to downsize our house now the kids moved out, and actually my husband keeps doing everything he can do not to go. But actually, this was something that will make, you know, the man of the house wants his finances. You know, he's worried about finances. So actually, this is a sweetener. So I think it's targeted at the, 50 plus female with, a husband that just doesn't want to go.
It's a dirty, rotten deal. Will you lose your woman, your dog, and your wheel? Call me melancholy, baby, cause the rain is coming down. Oh, yeah.
Don't stop. It's gorgeous. My ears want to marry your music. Your singing really moves me, son. You know that? Right here, just in my wallet. I want you to sign this recording. What's that? Heineken, Schmeinigan, champagne, caviar, truffle, silk underwear, puffy pillows, French...
Shut up, woman! Listen!
You like my suit? It's yours.
You look like $1 million.
My ears can smell major recording talent a mile away, son. You like the limo? It's yours.
I'm baby.
Oh yes,
I'm hurting so bad.
Okay,
I have no idea what that was about. That's so random. The man has the Heineken to make him good at music. Maybe, I don't know. Very strange.
He's good at the blues. He's good at the blues because he drinks Heineken. They're in the back of beyond in some time warp southern town in the States, which apparently hasn't changed since the 1930s, and possibly Jewish businessman turns up and gives him a record contract.
I was gonna say it's like, that's, he looks Italian American to me. I was like, I'm not sure if that's exactly the person that would turn up in that case, but
there were cues to suggest that this is because he said he did the shrug and he said Heineken, Schmeinigan.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you know, so I mean, I don't think this advert would be made today.
No.
Oh yeah.
Do they sell Heineken in America?
Yeah.
So this advert would have gone out in America.
I think this is an American ad. I think it doesn't make much sense to the UK mind. It
doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Only me! Come, don't love! Ooh, a new cooker! Thank you, new tar! Ooh, but you don't want a gas one! You never know when your food's ready! Ooh, no! What's this, a wormy red? You don't want that! You want a midnight mauve or misty map! And you don't want a figurine by the fire. You want a cow scuttle.
It's a gas fire.
Gas? You don't want all these fancy new things. Be more prudent with your money.
I got them both on interest-free credit.
Interest-free credit? No. Mm.
Yeah. Don't you just love being in control?
For more great deals on interest-free credit, visit your nearest British Gas showroom now.
So that was a Harry Enfield character who used to turn up saying, only me. You don't want to do it like that. And it's kind of quite funny because I frequently accuse Mrs. AA of only me-ism, you know. She's trying to like. So yeah, he's been quite topical of late. But
I quite like that one. Well, it's interesting because again, it's him saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. This is the first attempt at like. Attacking mansplaining, you know, the guy's coming in saying, oh, you should get this, you should get that, and it's the woman who says, no, put a baguette in it. I know what I'm doing. Also, Canon is like the top of the range, they're very expensive cookers and stuff, and you could tell by her kind of very posh accents that it was targeting the upper middle class woman basically. But again, she's empowered, she's the one making the decisions about the cooker.
Yeah, I have noticed quite a bit more cashing in on comedic talents, though. You know, we've seen Harry Enfield, we saw Halen Pace, we saw Peter Cook, we saw Mel Smith. I mean, there's been we saw Stephen Fry. I mean, there's five different comedians there.
This is really the birth of the influencer, isn't it? Again, if we think back to the 80s, I mean, maybe it's just because I didn't know anyone, but I barely recognised anyone at all. While, again, 70% of the ads have had a famous person in it. And then the next step to that is kind of the creation of a useless celebrity class that can sustain itself through advertising. You know, Kim Kardashian makes all her money through doing, modern versions of these. And again, I think it's, you know, this is one of the death knells for the beginning of society, in my opinion, where, you know, we're putting celebrities up the front of culture.
Very nice of you to take me out to dinner, Money.
Well, it's the least I could do, Access, after everything you've done for me. I remember you helped me move into my first flat. And you were there when checkbook ran out on me.
I even helped you keep in shape.
While Fat Wallet lost a few pounds. At the time you just phoned up and got front row seats for the ear bashers.
How could I forget?
So this one's on me.
The bill's there.
Oh, dear.
Need any help, Money?
Thanks, Access. Leave a good tip.
Access, your flexible friend.
So dark.
the credit card sort of was like almost like a drug dealer role there. He's kind of like, yeah, I'm following you around, enabling your hedonistic lifestyle, etc. You know,
it's so dark. It's just so dark. Consume. Don't worry about it. Can't afford it.
So many credit card adverts. It's actually insane.
You're Sarah? Yes. There's Uncle. Does she take after you?
Darling, I have to go. Come on.
Hello, James.
Oh, hello. Oh, darling, you haven't sent the package.
Yeah, the wedding present.
Waterford Crystal Goblets.
Post office.
Queen, my dear. This is Waterford Crystal.
Yeah, post office.
It's the place where you get the stamps and
ask them. See the chap or chapette behind desk? Yeah. And ask. Give you many, many pieces of advice. Yeah. China, jewellery, they'll do it. Post office.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Ankles. Mm-hmm. Father.
Oh my God, it's so I mean, no wonder the post office almost went out of business. What is this campaign?
So I'm getting it more now. So the first one was about, you know, working class mums, single mums who are on the dole with, you know, 2+ kids. This is your upper middle class Islington set. They're getting their Waterford Crystal, you know, very fancy, expensive crystal glasses delivered from the post office. Their kids doing ballet. So again, it's part of everyday life. The post office is for everyone, but I think it's just such a crap campaign because these individual ads just are so specific. They don't really appeal to anyone at all, and they don't tie into a product very well. You know, there was a sort of references to picking up your crystal glass at the post office or whatever, but you know, this is a very strange and weak campaign. And I hate the animation. There's something, like you said, very cursed about like the uncanny valleyness of it.
I'd say that they've been the worst ads. I think probably the best ad. I'm just trying to think which ones I can even remember. Probably that. Or was it Carling advert, the King Arthur one?
Yeah, that was quite fun. Yeah.
I mean, on the whole, though, the 90s ads have not been as good as the 80s ads. Would you agree?
They're substituting story for celebrity. Again, I think that's one big thing. Then the messaging is just all consummation focused. And then I think thirdly, it's about like there's a move away from kind of beauty and elitism to, you know, just trashiness and hedonism, like thematically.
It's depressing. Definitely a decline. It's Spenglerian decline.
This is the autumn of adverts we're in right now.
Yeah, now we're in winter in 2020. Winter is coming. Winter is coming. This is what the 90s is.
Must be dinner time. Let's get going. At times like this, there's only one thing to wear, the little black dress. Coco Chanel invented it back in the 20s. What do you reckon? She said fashion fades, only style remains. That's what great design's all about. circumvent the sun tan as well.
Now, I feel like that's targeting the... do you remember those films with Hugh Grant in them? Like
yes.
The Four Weddings.
Notting Hill set.
Notting Hill. There's something, this was tapping into something, or I can imagine the people in that wearing these sorts of clothes and living in these sorts of places.
It's a black and white ad, and also there's kind of like Dada-esque moments, you know, when the house turns into the, little side bureau thing that she's writing from. She's got this new very riche, again, from her accent, you can tell that she's got this kind of country house. So she's, again, probably cashed in the 80s. And as a sophisticated woman, she's got all of the designer dresses. She's mentioning Coco Chanel, little black dress. I don't know who the picture was. Again, it shows my unculturedness. I bet John D would know who the black and white photo of that guy is, probably significant as she passed by. She's wearing those like Hunter Wellington boots. And then she's getting into her Audi. So again, it's just part of this Notting Hill.
Yeah, and did you notice the big baggy jumper as well, the big baggy kind of sweater thing that she wore, cardigan thing? That was in vogue for a while as well. Okay, well, I think one more, and then I want to watch that KFC ad again. But why are the Janet Fraser ads so dated seeming? They seem so dated to me. Of all of the ads, they seem the most like
unfashionable. It's probably because it's like not that cool stuff, and it's just a value discount brand. And also, a lot of those, order through a book. Companies are very legacy. They've been around for years and years, since like the 50s and stuff, so they tend to be kind of not at the cutting edge, I'd say. Got the number,
she just going for the phone. Janet Fraser,
go on, get that new dress, child.
Some people like it because it's kind of Swiss. Others eat it every day and never move. Some love it in the morning, but you don't have to eat it then. And some because it's original album. Some people like to eat it when they're running late. And on Sunday morning, it tastes great. Some eat it meditating with their early mornings in. And some because it's original album.
Yeah, I didn't like that advert.
If you think it
can be dull in some cases, and you want something quicker than takeaway places, then this idea should be right up your alley. It's quick and delicious and fresh from Sun Valley. There's fresh chicken breast, fresh veg, you can tell, and a spicy Indian sauce that goes very, very well. It appears you soon got the hang of that. You cooked it yourself in 10 minutes flat.
Real easy recipes is what you do that makes them Sun Valley.
Where only the best will do the rule.
Okay, it's Sun Valley or Charlie Bingham? That's the big question.
Yeah, well, I was saying this is prototype Charlie Bingham, basically, isn't it? Right, just before we finish up, we have to see this family from the KFC ad again. I'm just so tickled by it.
Fancy a pizza? Fancy a change? Yeah!
Ridiculous.
Fancy a burger?
No.
Look at this family.
I don't.
Fancy a pizza?
Fancy a change?
Yeah.
Look, that's what they never forget for the rest of your life. This is what they really think of you. This is how they speak to you and see you. This family.
You know what? There's something about the shot as well, where it's kind of like, all of the family, who they're looking at. They're looking at, again, their kind of master or whatever. There's something very, I don't know, just disturbing about that whole advert, you know.
Sorry. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Pharaoh. I'm going to. I'll be ripping this as we come off the screen, off the stream. I'm going to have to repurpose that as a Foundations of Economics video, because I'm so tickled by it. Yes. So tomorrow, the cigar stream is going to be early. I I'm currently trying to train AAA to sleep properly, as we were talking about Pharaoh. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to move Cigar Stream from tomorrow night. So I'm probably going to do it at the same time as this stream. So again, like, it'll be another afternoon, you know, 3, 4 p.m. Just for this 1 week, I have to move it back because it disturbs my attempts to sleep train AAA. All right. Apart from that, anything you want to plug, Pharaoh, before we get out of here?
Yeah, we're actually the foundations of architecture team. We're doing a spooky special tonight, actually, not on the normal Sunday slot. So tune in if you want to see some spooky architecture. We'll be looking at some abandoned buildings, maybe some gothic manors, etc. So yeah, I think it'll be around about 9 or 10 tonight. So check it out.
In fact, I will put the link to the Foundation's podcast in the show notes, so people can follow that. People can watch it later on. I have to think about what we're going to talk about tomorrow afternoon for the cigar stream. I might actually do a little bit of UK. I've focused on the American election quite a lot recently. Haven't done much UK stuff. So I might do that. Let me just put in the Foundations podcast. Or I might just do something else, like been reading some interesting stuff about the Soviet, the Russian Revolution recently, and about how many of the Bolsheviks were funded by Wall Street. Is that something that you ever heard about?
I hadn't. I heard you mentioning that before, and the whole thing blew my mind reading some of it. So I think it'd be really interesting. Yeah, definitely.
So I might actually spend tomorrow's. I mean, it depends if I can get any guests. It could be a solo stream, but around the same time tomorrow, I think I might go through some of that history, that crossover with how the Americans secretly backed the Bolsheviks from the very beginning. Dun dun dun. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Now get out.